So anyway, today we're going to look at the comparison between Jesus and Adam. Today we're going to, so many times people focus on Jesus, you know, and his godlike qualities. Today I want to focus on Jesus, the man, all right, and how he was a man. And because he was a man, he could redeem us. In fact, to redeem mankind, Jesus had to be a man. He had to. And I'm going to show you why. Rather than just say that, I'll show you. And what we're going to look at is, one of the things we're going to look at is a comparison between Adam and Jesus. We'll go through, I've got a laundry list of things. I've got about 8 or 9 of them. I guess I've got 8 right here. Comparisons between Jesus and Adam, and I think you'll find it very enlightening. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to start out. And in verse 20, it says this, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Let's skip down to verse 45. "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural." And I'm going to read this out of the NIV because this section of King James is kind of funny. Kind of like, what? Okay, but I'm going to read it in the King James, and I'll go get the NIV and I'll read it. Okay, and it'll be much more clear. Okay, verse 46. "Howbeit, that was not first. Howbeit, that was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth." He's earthy. Use that in a Scrabble, see if it works, Rosa, earthy. It probably will. "The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earth, such are they that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have been born the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Now, it's obvious that this is talking about Adam and Jesus Christ, right? Adam's the earthy guy. Jesus is the heavenly guy. Let me read this out of the NIV. No, that was the King James. All right, let me read it out of the NIV. See if this helps a little bit better. Really, we should have started sooner. 44 says, "It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. The natural body, your natural body is of the image of Adam. Your spiritual body is the image of Christ. How about that, right? Okay, let me read this here. 45 here says, "So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth," or he's earthy, right? "The second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. So as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have been born the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven." All right. So Jesus is called the second Adam, or the next Adam, okay? And if you understand who Adam was and you understand who Jesus was, you can see why Jesus had to be a man to save mankind. And he had to go through what he had to go through. Jesus literally came to fix what Adam broke. That's what he did. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 1. We're going to look at the conception of Jesus. Okay, 1:18, Matthew 1:18. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And now all this was done that which it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn, and he called his name Jesus. Now let's go to Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 1, in verse 26. Let's start in 23. Okay, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And this is talking about Zacharias, which was the husband of Elizabeth, who was Mary's cousin. All right, and he was one of the high priests at the temple. All right, so that's what it's talking about. Verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in these days, wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." And of course, if you know the story, you know that their son became John the Baptist, who was Jesus' cousin. Verse 26, And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God, the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored." And that word highly favored means having much grace, being graced. Thou art highly graced. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, the angel, she was troubled at his saying, I'm sure, and cast into mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor or grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing that I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible." Right? I like that. Got any rivers? Got any mountains? God isn't in the business of the difficult. God is in the business of the impossible. And I've seen God do some impossible things, some impossible healings, because God can heal what doctors can't. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And this is all kind of going to come together, okay? Actually, let's look at Romans chapter 5 first. You know, obviously, you know, Jesus was no ordinary man, right? All right, and I'm going to explain one of the ways he was not an ordinary man. One of the ways he was not an ordinary man was because of the virgin conception, okay? And it's very important. Now a man, when they're conceived, is made up of what? An egg and a seed, right? And the egg comes from the woman and the seed comes from the man, all right? Now, let's go to Romans chapter 5. Biblically, sin is passed down through the man. All right? This is important. How about that? You never heard that before? Probably not. Sin is passed down through the man because Adam actually committed the first sin. Eve is the first one to eat of the fruit, but she was tricked. And so God, being a just God, isn't going to fault someone for being tricked. But Adam went in with his eyes open. He knew what he was doing, and he knew it was wrong. So Adam is the one that committed the first sin. And sin is passed down through the man. Let's look, and I'll show you. You're going, what? Okay, listen to this. We're in Romans chapter 5. And this is really important to understand, all right? Okay, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Wherefore, by one man, and who are we talking about? Sin entered into the world. Who? Adam, that's right, very simply. By one man, sin entered into the world, and so death by sin. And so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. There's actually a verse I don't know where it is, I could probably find it. There's actually a verse in Psalms that says we were conceived in sin. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you are born with the sin nature, and it's passed down through Adam. Why is that so important? Because where did the seed come from with Jesus? God, right? So, was there sin nature in Jesus? No. Okay. Did Adam, when he was created, have sin nature? No. Why? Because he hadn't sinned yet. And that's why Jesus is called the last Adam. One of the reasons is because he came as the figure of Adam to fix what Adam broke. You see that? He had to be a man without the sin nature to be the redeemer of mankind. And that's why in verse 12 it says that in death by sin, and so death has been passed upon all men because it comes through the blood and also through the seed. Okay? So, that's very, very important. Let's keep reading here in Romans chapter 5. So, verse 17 here, Romans chapter 5. For if by one man's offense, that's Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of the one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of, or issuing in, life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And of course, let's go back again in this light and let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 again that we just looked at a minute ago. I think it's worth reading again in light of this. Maybe I should have read this one first. 1 Corinthians 15, 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Pretty exciting stuff, huh? Very interesting. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And I've got an alternate translation. Therefore, if any man be in union with Christ, he is a new being. You are a new type of man. You are a new creature. You're no longer a man of body and soul, but you're now what? Body, soul, and spirit. See, when Adam was first made, he was body, soul, and spirit. When he sinned, he lost his spirit. That's what died. We'll do it in a minute. Okay, I'll show that to you. So, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You're now a man of body, soul, and spirit once again. Old things are passed away. Your old man, the old life are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And that new means new in quality. Not necessarily new in time, but new in quality. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ and given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what Jesus Christ came to do. Adam split man and God apart. Jesus is here to bring man and God back together, to reconcile. Because when you say reconcile, that assumes what? You were together, and then what? You split apart. And to reconcile is to bring back together. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. What is the image of God? Does God look like you and me? And that's kind of what you grew up thinking, right? that God has two arms, two legs, two eyes, two ears, a nose, and a mouth, right? But really, God is a spirit. In John 4:24, it says God is a spirit. And what God did when He created man, He gave him spirit. Which really, when we get Holy Spirit, when we get born again, we are getting a little piece of God. When we get born again, He gave Adam spirit. He formed his body from the dust of the ground, and He created within him the spirit life that he has. And so they could commune with God. Now you're going, wait a minute, it doesn't exactly say that. Well, it doesn't exactly say that, but God is a spirit. And let's keep reading, and I think you'll see it a little clearer. Well, let's look at chapter 2 and verse 17, and let's talk about, let's look at verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15, okay? And let's look at what it says, this record here. And it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." What did he say? And actually, if you read in the Hebrew, it actually says, "Dying, thou shalt die." The Hebrew actually says it for emphasis. It's a figure of speech. It says, "Dying, you shall die," which means you're going to die in the day. The Hebrew says, "Toyo, the day you eat of this, dying, you shall die." I think God wants to emphasize what? Don't eat it, or you'll die. Right? That day. Well, let's read down some more. Let's keep reading for chapter 3. Okay. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." She's actually changing what God said, but that's a teaching for another day. Because He didn't say not to touch it, He said not to eat it. And He didn't say you might die, He said you would die. Because she says, lest ye die, which means maybe. "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be gods." You shall be as God, really. In fact, the Hebrew there word is Elohim, which means you'll be God. Not just a God, but you will be God, knowing good and evil. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Now, if you keep reading, guess what? Adam and Eve lived a long time after this, right? But God said, in the day you eat of it, you're going to die. That's right. That's right. They lost their spiritual connection with God, because obviously their body didn't die. And either God was lying or something else happened. Well, they lost the spirit. They lost that spiritual connection with God. And Jesus came to bring the spiritual connection back. Well,
God didn't teach him anything about sin.
It was the woman's fault, don't you know?
But you know, there's that verse that says the woman...
You know, you get a man and woman together...
That's right. She's like, eat this. He's like, okay, I don't care what it is. I'm going to eat it.
Don't ever ask what the ingredients...
And they're still getting us in trouble today. Okay, well, we're going to start now going through some of the things that Jesus and Adam, we're going to compare them. Some of the things they had in common and some of the things they didn't, okay? First of all, number one, Adam was a man, right? Everybody agrees with me? Well, Jesus also was a man. In fact, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, that in relation to God's connection with men, the emphasis is on Jesus as a man, all right? Very important. In fact, even here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, The emphasis is on Jesus the man. Verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." the emphasis on the relationship, that how Jesus connects men to God, the emphasis is on his him being a man. Why? Because he had to be a man to save mankind. He had to be. That man, without the original sin, without the sin nature in him that would come from down from the Father. Okay, number two, Son of God. Look at Luke chapter 3. Now, we all know that Jesus was the Son of God. In fact, we've read it. Luke, it was said, he shall be called the Son of God. In Luke chapter 3, Adam is also called the Son of God. Okay, Luke chapter 3 contains the genealogy of Jesus, and it starts in verse 23, and Jesus himself being about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which is the son of Matthias, which is the son of Levi, which is the son of Melchi, which is the son of Janna, which is the son of Joseph. I'm not going to keep reading. Let's keep going. Let's skip down to verse 38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Adam started with spirit. Right? He created man in his own image. Well, guess what? Jesus started without spirit. How about that? Jesus did not have the benefit of Holy Spirit. Here in Luke chapter 3. Okay, right? When Jesus was about 30, he went to be baptized. Verse 21 in Luke chapter 3, we were just reading right after this. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heavens were opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven and said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Now John the Baptist, believe it or not, had spirit from the womb. But Jesus, it doesn't say though, it does say about that about John the Baptist though. To fulfill his destiny, to save mankind, Jesus had to redeem man and had to live the first 30 years of his life without the benefit of spirit. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Now we know that Adam was faced with a choice, right? Whether to sin or not. Correct? Adam was faced with the choice of whether to eat of the fruit or not. And what did he do? He ate. That's right. He ate. Okay? Jesus was also faced with a choice of whether to sin or not. And the difference in Adam and Jesus is Jesus made the right choice. He chose not to sin. He was tempted, as it says here in Hebrews chapter 4. And temptation implies that it's something that you would succumb to. And you've heard me probably use the example of chocolate. I don't really like chocolate very much. You can give me that. You know, some people they go to Chili's and they get that, what do they call it, Death by Chocolate or Chocolate Explosion Mountain or whatever, you know. And some, man, there are women. Who likes chocolate? Ida likes chocolate, right?
I love it.
Yeah, right, right. That they have that, it's like, I can take one bite and I'm like, ugh, give me something to drink. I got to wash this down. You know, that chocolate, Death by Chocolate stuff, but you know, give me a really, really good snickerdoodle cookie. Man. And I can't resist it. I tell you what else I like. Ida brings me those little. Okay, when I was a kid, you know, the candy marshmallows. The candy Easter eggs that have candy on the outside and marshmallow on the inside. Yeah. I would eat the outside just to eat, because I didn't like the outside, but just eat the inside. The marshmallow. Well, Ida found some at HEB that is just the inside. Man, and I go around after everybody leaves and I find them all and I eat them. So anyway, to be tempted implies that there has to be something that can actually make you succumb to temptation, okay? So, here it is, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So here's the question you have to ask. If Jesus so chose, was it within his nature to sin? Had to be. or it's just an exercise in futility. You're just going through the motions. It means nothing. Going through his life for 30 years without sin is pointless if he couldn't have sinned had he so chosen. He could have done it. He could have done what Adam did, because what Adam did was said, hey, I'm not going to do it God's way. I'm going to do it my way. I mean, that's really what sin is saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do it my way, and I'm not going to do it God's way. Let's go back to
Sinatra.
Yeah, I'm going to do it my way. Let's go back to Luke chapter 22. That's right. Thank you. That's the best way to say it. God never wanted us to be self-sufficient. Okay, Luke 22, chapter 22, verse 39. And this is the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay. Chapter 22, verse 39. And he went out and went, as it was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Did Jesus want to go through the torture and death? No. He knew what was to come, at least some of it. He knew in Isaiah it says that he would be beaten so much that you wouldn't recognize his face. It says that his visage was so marred that no one, that he didn't even look like a man. He knew that was coming, all right? He knew what the prophecies were. Did he want to go through it? No. Nobody would want to go through that. So he was at a crossroads where he was like, hey, I don't think I want to do this. Is there a plan B? And there wasn't. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That was the moment when Jesus could have said, and I think most everybody else would go, hey, I didn't sign up for this, man. You know, I'm sorry. He could have backed out, but he didn't. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. At that opportunity, and certainly other opportunities, he had the choice to not do the right thing, but he didn't. And by the way, let me point something out to you guys. The devil used to be an archangel. He was called Lucifer, and which means light bearer. And he was one of God's archangels. He was probably second in command, you know, certainly in the top two or three. And rather than keep his place where he was at, he decided to rebel against God because he wanted to be God. And he fought with God and he lost. And of course, he was cast to the earth. So here God had his second in command, his bright and shining star. Lucifer was the bright and shining star. He was the morning star. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, it says in Isaiah. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And it literally means son of the morning could be translated morning star. He was the beautiful morning star, and he rebelled against God. So God makes the earth, and he puts Adam on the earth. And who does he set in charge of the earth? Adam. He gives him dominion. We read it earlier in Genesis 1:26. He gave him dominion over what? He goes, let's make man in our image, and we shall give him dominion over what? The fish of the sea, and over fowl of the air, and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. He was his second in command. Again, God's second in command. And what happened? He blew it. He rebelled. He said, I don't need to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. And he blew it again. And so God does it again, and he brings his son, Jesus Christ. And again, Jesus, he had the opportunity and certainly the incentive, right, to sin and to say, no way, I'm not going to do it my way. I'm not going to do it your way, I'm going to do it my way. But what did he do? This time he made the right decision. And because of that, he is now set down at the right hand of God. Finally, God got someone who would do the right thing when given the choice. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And the devil tempted him through his weakness of hunger, but used pride as the method of temptation. If you're the Son of God, I know you're hungry, They say you're the Son of God, but I don't know if I believe it. If you're so hot, let's make some bread out of this stone. See how you see he used his, and the devil will tempt you at your weakness. And pride is a big impetus for temptation many times. Remember the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what it is to be carnal. He used tried to use pride. And Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and said unto him, the devil said unto him, "All this power," and that's the word authority, "all this authority will I give you, and the glory of it. For it is delivered unto me, it was turned over to me." When Adam sinned, he turned over dominion of the earth to the devil. "And to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you will therefore worship me, all will be yours." Not just running the world, but everybody's going to love you and adore you. Everybody. Everything that you would want, that's it. To be the most powerful, impressive man, everywhere you walk, people will love you and adore you. If you will just worship me, I'll do it for you. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve." So here he is being tempted. Could he have succumbed? Yes, or it wouldn't have been a temptation. Verse 9, "And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God," there it is again, that "if, cast yourself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering him and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had tempted all his temptation, he departed from him for a season." So he was definitely tempted. He was definitely tempted. Now being tempted doesn't mean you sin. It's just being tempted. When you succumb to sin, when you succumb to the temptation, sorry, that's when it becomes sin. So, had a choice, right? Adam had a choice to sin. Jesus had a choice to sin. And number 5, Adam sinned. He sinned. Jesus, he didn't sin. Number 6, let's see what's number 6. Made without sin nature. They both were without sin nature. Number 7. 7. Adam, when he sinned, man lost spirit. Through Jesus, man regained a spirit. Right? And number 8, Adam condemned mankind, and Jesus saved and restored mankind. Well, here's the deal. Man, in the Old Testament, men could have spirit, but it was always conditional. Okay, and it was just here and there. Certain men were given spirit, and it was just given some to you, some to you, some to you. It wasn't unconditional, okay, and it was only for certain men who God chose to be his prophet. But here we have everyone has the opportunity to have the Spirit of God. Everyone who is born again can have the Spirit of God. And can have that connection with God. And that's what Jesus brought to restore. He brought to restore that connection with God that mankind did not have available to them. That's the difference. Do you see? Okay. Adam condemned everyone. Everyone who was born after Adam had the sin nature within them. Until Jesus was born. He was the first man without that sin nature. He gave us the opportunity to have born again even with the sin nature. Because a man without the sin nature and who didn't sin paid the price for you. Let's close it out in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And one more thing to understand is that Adam earned the death for you, and Jesus earned the salvation for you. Jesus earned what he has. It wasn't just handed to him, he earned it. Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 7. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. Okay, listen to this, talking about Jesus, "but made himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He obeyed God, and even in the face of what he knew was the beating and the torture. By the way, if you work the Bible, and I'm not going to go into, I can do it afterwards if somebody has a question. We'll cover it probably in the next month or so. If you work the Bible, there's a 21-hour period between Jesus appearing with Pilate at noon. At noon is when he appeared with Pilate, and Pilate said, "Are we going to kill this man who didn't do anything, or this guy who was a murderer? Who are we going to let go?" And they go, "Let go the murderer." That happened at noon. Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. the next day. There's 21 hours when there's no mention of anything that happened. What do you think was going on in those 21 hours? That's right. That's what was going on. It's so bad, it's not even talked about. He knew it. He knew what was going to happen. I mean, we'll probably look at a little segment from the movie, you know, the Passion. And the Passion's bad.
Not that bad.
It ain't nothing compared to what really happened. So here we are. So verse 8, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore," or because of this, because of what Jesus did, "God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus has what he has because he earned it. Because he made the right choice and made the right decision. And not only did he earn that, he earned our salvation. Amen.